This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important you are.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network, and tonight we're going to be talking about my two latest articles on the fluoride lawsuit, the ongoing hearings in this fluoride trial between the United States government, the Environmental Protections Agency, and the Fluoride Action Network, Food and Water Watch, some citizens and other groups. I've been covering this since 2020, and realistically going back to the beginning, almost to 2016, the research showing the effect on childhood IQ from exposure to fluoride. I've been covering this for years, and specifically when the trial hearings actually began in 2020, I started following this and writing numerous articles, which let me go ahead and pop this on screen. I've been writing about this for 3 years now for The Last American Vagabond, and you can see we're going to cover tonight on, for my latest articles, we're going to cover U.S. government releases censored documents detailing fluoride's impact on childhood IQ. And then this one just out today, newly released review of fluoride's toxicity highlights National Toxicology Program scientists' battle to follow the science. And I'll explain all that tonight. Before we do that, though, I want to invite you guys to follow me at theconsciousresistance.com. This is my website. You can see this pop up here. Subscribe for my email list. I just sent out a new email today talking about my upcoming speaking events, if you want to see me in person, and of course, talking about the Conscious Agora, myself, Miriam, and our group raising money for the Conscious Agora, and just released a brand new episode of the Activation Podcast featuring my partner, Miriam Gomez. For tonight's episode, we're talking about the suppressed documents, which show that U.S. government scientists have found that fluoride does lower IQ in children. Now, we're going to get into the nuance of this and make sure you fully understand the details, because you might notice if you go search, like, let's say on CIA Google, you are not going to find these stories. I just did a search actually before this video, seeing has any of the mainstream news talked about this at all. The only people I've seen cover it besides myself have been Children's Health Defense. And then, of course, Del Bigtree had me on his show, The High Wire, a couple of weeks ago to talk about the fluoride issue. And I'm here tonight, I want to say, as a journalist and as a candidate for mayor of Houston, because this is one of the things that I've cared about for a number of years. In fact, let me show you this, that going back to, this is June 2012, I helped start a group called Fluoride Free Houston. You can see here, we had our first meeting back in June 2012. So over a decade ago, Fluoride Free Houston, working to stop fluoridation of Houston's water. That's from our Facebook page from more than 10 years ago. And then you can see this one. We had a meeting September 3rd, 2012, Fluoride Free Houston. Join us as we discuss our progress and support from city council, as well as formulating plans moving forward. So I've been at this for a long time, specifically talking about the dangers of fluoride. And actually, you know, interesting story. The very first, one of the first earliest little bits of activism that I did back in 2010 or 2011 was print out this flyer from InfoWars. Yes, that InfoWars, much different back then. And it was just a flyer that had like the poison symbol, and it said, there's poison in the tap water. And I just printed out a bunch of posters of those and went around my neighborhood in downtown Houston, Montrose area, putting up flyers around poles and boxes and all the usual places. And a couple of days later, I noticed somebody had torn these down. And honestly, I remember just how that encouraged me. I was like, wow, somebody doesn't like that I'm putting this information out there. I want to do it even more. And I started to do research about how to avoid fluoride. We're going to talk about some of that in this video as well. And it was really just one of those key issues that I first learned about and then started to do the research and see, like, for example, the book, The Fluoride Deception, I think is an amazing piece of work on this. But when you bring this up to most mainstream people, They say things like Dr. Strangelove, and I've never even seen this movie, but I guess there's a character in Dr. Strangelove that talks about putting fluoride in the water or poison in the water. And it's just kind of like a joke to dismiss it, like, ha ha ha, you sound like a crazy person. Of course, the fluoride's there to poison you or to dumb you down and this and that. And that's literally what the evidence is showing and has been showing. So when I first started to learn about it through groups like the Fluoride Action Network, who are one of the organizations involved in this lawsuit, I was just blown away. And then I was even more blown away when I tried to talk to friends and family and regular people who were just very dismissive, who had done no research about this topic, it was clear, but were very dismissive about the idea that fluoride could be anything other than good, because that's what we've been told, right, by the government, and clearly they're looking out for us. And I think that my audience out there, you guys know that that's not the case, but there are still a lot of people who we know who do generally buy into that. So if you are somebody who's skeptical and don't know much about fluoride, I invite you to stay with me. We're going to go through this report. I'm going to try not to take an hour doing this, because this is just my first report based on my two articles that just came out, based on this 1500 plus page document dump that came out from the federal government about fluoride. So there's a lot to go through. There will be more reports, more articles to come. But let's go ahead. First off, you can go to theconsciousresistance.com. You can see this post. Suppressed documents show scientists with the U.S. government find fluoride lowers IQ in children. And you will see the articles that I'm about to cover linked here as well. And if you can also see how to support us if you'd like to support the work that I'm doing here. So let's go into the first one. This is the first report that I put out yesterday. U.S. government releases censored documents detailing fluoride's impact on childhood IQ. Now, I'm going to try to catch everybody up without boring those who are caught up and who've been following my work since 2020, when this trial really began, June 2020, and then all the way to, like, I think August, September 2020, when Judge Edward Chin ruled that he was going to put it into a stay of abeyance and basically put it on hold until further notice, until we got this study, this review, what's called a monograph review of all the literature on fluoride's potential toxicity and effect on the brain, so potential as a neurotoxin, and review all that information. And they were going to release this report. And the judge in the fall of 2020 said, well, let's wait. Let's not make a ruling yet, because there's this government agency that's going to be putting out some new information. Let's not be in too much of a hurry. This should come out soon. Fast forward to October 2022, and it's been 2+ years. The report still has not come out. The courts continue, the plaintiff and the government continue to meet in court. And basically what happens is that the government, the EPA, was the U.S. government was arguing to kick the can down even further and telling the judge we shouldn't have a trial, we shouldn't have a second phase of trial to, you know, review all the evidence that's been presented, which has already been very damning against the, you know, water fluoridation and showing that it's harmful to people and harmful to children. It's harmful to our brains, to our body, our thyroid. And the government wanted to just wait even longer. The Fluoride Action Network, the plaintiffs, they said, no, we shouldn't wait any longer. We need to, you know, let's go forward with the evidence we have. And the big kind of battle here was that, as I said, this report from the NTP, the National Toxicology Program, was expected to come out in 2021. And then it was expected to come out in May 2022. And it never came out. Well, we found out in late 2022, December going to January, these emails, which were obtained by the Fluoride Action Network, which show conversations between the CDC, officials within the HHS, and conversations back and forth with the NTP scientists. The NTP scientists who are conducting this monograph, this review of all the literature out there on fluoride's potential as a neurotoxin. And one reason or another, we didn't know until just recently, this report didn't come out. Well, the plaintiffs were able to file Freedom of Information Act requests, and they got these emails. And these emails clearly show, in their own words, that the scientists said that their report was done, it was ready. They believed it was done in May 2022. Apparently, it was reviewed again in September 2022, and they thought it was done then, and you can presume they still think it's done. We also saw emails showing that officials in the CDC and HHS were discussing how this report can't come out. Surely we're not going to let this come out. And they specifically name Assistant Secretary of Health Rachel Levine as one of the people who blocked this report. And then we had the director of the NTP, a man named Dr. Richard Wojciech, who came out and said that, I was the one responsible for blocking this. So we don't know the truth of who really blocked it, whether it was Lawrence Tabak, Rachel Levine, or Dr. Richard Wojciech. But we know somebody in there blocked it, and they prevented this report from coming out. And it doesn't seem to be just a case of, well, the science wasn't settled yet, when the researchers have been already they've had to undergo numerous external reviews. It's a completely unprecedented set of events that's never been seen before in any NTP monograph in all the years that they've been doing monographs. And this one has been now reviewed by, you know, internally and then by five external reviewers and by the National Academy of Sciences multiple times. And the U.S. government is trying to say, well, let's review it one other time. And right now they have this random bureaucracy called the Board of Scientific Counselors, I believe is BSC. And they created a working group just to review it one more time. And then they're going to present that to Richard Wojciech, who we already know claims he blocked the release of it previously. And then he's going to decide if it ever comes out. So hopefully you understood all that. But what happened just this week and the title of, sorry if my camera froze, and the title of this, this article here is that now we have the documents actually were forced out. They were forced out because of a lawsuit. No, not because the U.S. government decided they were wanting to make sure we have accountability and that the people could see the truth of what was going on. No, they were forced to release these because of this court case, because of the fluoride lawsuit. The plaintiffs and the Fluoride Action Network were able to successfully argue and convince the judge that the two parties should come together so that they could release it. And so ultimately the government relented, and just this Wednesday they posted these 1,500 pages of documents on the government website, the National Toxicology Program website. And as suspected, these documents are do not make a good case for fluoride, because one could easily imagine that if this research came out and said that fluoride was the best thing ever, as they still try to tell you, they still try to tout it as one of the top achievements of the 20th century, things like that, which is not true at all. They don't want this information out. They clearly don't want this information out because it makes the proponents, the propagandists of fluoride, including the American Dental Association, the CDC, the FDA, the Department of Health and Human Services, dentists everywhere, potentially liable for lawsuits, but also it makes them look bad. So let's go ahead and dive in. Now that I've set the stage, hopefully you got all that. And go ahead, please share this video wherever you're listening from. Give me a like, give me some hearts, whatever you got, whether you're watching on Odyssey, shout out to Odyssey, Rockfin. This will be posted on BitChute. Shout out to the haters there. And of course, Facebook, YouTube, Hive. Thank you everybody there. So again, on Wednesday, because of an agreement between the U.S. government, Environmental Protection Agency, and the plaintiffs with the Fluoride Action Network, as part of this ongoing lawsuit, they decided to release these 1,500 pages of documents. And again, this wasn't like they volunteered to do this. This was after years and years of back and forth with the court. So it's 1,500 pages of documents. We'll open it up real quick so you guys can actually see what it looks like. But this is the main thing to take away. The summary of the May 2022 version of the National Toxicology Program monograph, the one that, again, was supposed to be released in May 2022, that we know because of these emails, the scientists in their own words say that it was ready for release. And the government, the various branches of government, somebody, whether Rachel Levine or some other official, blocked the release of this, and they continue to block the release of this. This isn't seen as the final version, what we're reading here. This is just they're saying, hey, we're releasing it as part of the lawsuit, but nobody should make any kind of legislative decisions or health decisions based on this information. Like, they're trying to have it both ways. But this is what the summary finds. This review finds with moderate confidence that higher fluoride exposure is consistently associated with lower IQ in children. More studies are needed to fully understand the potential for lower fluoride exposure to affect children's IQ. So, although this is a positive development, the Fluoride Action Network, they told me, and a quote for this article, "We have very little confidence the NTP will ever officially release the monograph as a final report. HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, has now taken over the process and controls the show." And again, I'll remind you that it was the HHS, Health and Human Services, that Rachel Levine, that is alleged to have blocked the release of this report in May 2022. So when Fluoride Action Network says we have no faith that this report's ever going to be released in its final form, instead all we see here is just this draft version. And so again, technically this isn't a final conclusion. This is the summary of a draft version of a report from May 2022, but the September 2022 version still says the same thing. What, we're in September, October, November, December, January, February, March. So 6 months ago they said they think this is, you know, what it should come out. And we know that the scientists in the NTP say they think this should be that their report has been reviewed numerous times and that it's ready for public release, but the government continues to keep it from coming out. Now, as I wrote here, the release of these internal documents offers a rare window into deliberations which take place behind the closed doors of the U.S. government scientific community. These discussions highlight how the NTP scientists have consistently defended their findings while also seeking to address the concerns of the various agencies which have reviewed their work multiple times. And that's kind of the focus of the second article we're going to get into in a moment, which I titled Newly Released Review of Fluoride's Toxicity Highlights NTP Scientists' Battle to Follow the Science, right? We're always told we need to trust the science, follow the science, trust the experts. Well, in this case, these experts were trying to say, hey, our work is done. We've reached our conclusions. We're ready to share this with the public. And these people in the HHS and CDC and other officials, they don't want it to come out. They don't want it to be public. So that's something to think about, right? Why is it that they are afraid to have this information given to the public? And the worst messed up thing about it all is that it's the kids that are at risk, right? I'm going to show you in a moment the words of these scientists where they talk about the concerns that you should have as a parent, as a human being, but especially if you have kids, young kids, is that they are going to be exposed not only through if you're drinking the tap water, which stop drinking the tap water. I get it. Like some people, maybe that's just what you think you can only afford, but that's not true. And maybe you're drinking bottled water. I'm going to show you in a moment how bottled water has fluoride as well in it. And in fact, the government, like they're right now accepting public comment on how much fluoride should be allowed in the bottled water. So drinking bottled water is not a good option either, right? But there are some options. So we're going to get into that in a moment. But let's go ahead and just look at a little bit more of what the scientists have said here. Now, I want to reiterate, the NTP's monograph has already faced numerous peer reviews by both internal and external reviewers, and yet it remains unpublished by the U.S. government. According to the NTP website, as I mentioned earlier, the Board of Scientific Counselors Working Group is going to report the latest review on May 4th in a public meeting, which I will be watching and reporting on. And then they're going to make a recommendation to the director, Richard Wojciech, but this is the same guy who previously said he blocked it. And this part of the article just goes through explaining the unusual process that has taken place. Michael Connett, the attorney with the Fluoride Action Network, said there will be at least five separate peer review processes extending over 4 years of the NTP monograph. And he said, quote, this is, to put it mildly, exceptionally unusual. And it is unusual. Now, to the emails I mentioned earlier, where the scientists themselves say that their report was ready. This is from April 28, 2022. Dr. Mary Wolf, who's the director of the NTP's Office of Policy, Review, and Outreach, she emailed another person, Casey Hannon, the director of the CDC's Division of Oral Health, and stated that the NTP's, quote, analysis and conclusions are set. She also told, this is Dr. Mary Wolf of the NTP, involved in the NTP monograph on fluoride's toxicity, said to Hannon from the CDC that the NTP reviewed the comments that the CDC had given them, because as part of these documents, I can't seem to get it to load here, but as part of these documents, you can see the conversations taking place between the reviewers. And that's why I'm saying it's kind of like a rare window where you have, here's what the scientists originally wrote. And then you get these external reviewers. All the names are redacted, so we don't know what agencies or who they are. But they would say, hey, we think that you should reword this or rewrite this. And the scientists respond. All of that is in these documents. And that's very unusual. We don't typically see these conversations where the science is being discussed and considered. So let's go ahead and get a little bit further into it. I forgot I was going to play a video. We're going to play that in just a moment. So there you can see Dr. Wolf tells him that she said they reviewed the comments, but they still plan to release the review mid to late May 2022. Then another email, May 11, 2022. Mary Wolf, Dr. Mary Wolf of the NTP says to the CDC, quote, we have set May 18, 2022 for publication of the monograph. The monograph will be posted to the NTP website, and we will email a notice of the posting to NTP listserv subscribers. Clearly, they believed that this thing was ready. They said numerous times it was ready for release, but of course, people got involved and they said, no, it's not going to come out, including Rachel Levine, Assistant Secretary of Health, is listed in these emails claiming she is the one who blocked the release of these documents, which now, again, in case you didn't hear it yet, have shown that fluoride exposure, high fluoride exposure, even maybe at the levels that the government is claiming are safe, but definitely at levels above that, children's IQ is being affected. And we're going to show in just a moment with the second article. It's not just IQ, though. There's links to ADHD and other neurological problems and things that need to be studied further. But the point is, if we're going to take just take a wise assessment of this risk here and err on the side of the precautionary principle is what I was looking for. If we're going to, respect the precautionary principle, then we should probably not be accepting this in our water. All the people who have been called crazy over the years for talking about this are vindicated as of today, if not already. I think we were previously through this trial, but now for sure, 100%, we know that there's U.S. government scientists who are supposed to trust saying that fluoride is a neurotoxin and it's affecting children's IQ. So the thing is, when you are drinking fluoride from the sink, you're drinking the tap water, let's say, or also you're cooking your beans or your rice or your potatoes with it, you're boiling it. In that case, the water is evaporating. You're actually concentrating the amount of fluoride that goes into your food and things. So stop using that water. If you're showering, you do absorb it. I've previously said that this is one of the main sources of being absorbed into your body, but I found out that that's not exactly true. Some say that fluoride doesn't penetrate the skin. I don't think that's completely true, but there just isn't enough research on it. But in general, if you think about even if small amounts of fluoride are getting into your skin through your body, how many people take 20, 30 minute showers, 40 minute showers, maybe depending on how much water you waste, and do this obviously every day of their life, maybe at least hopefully a couple times a week throughout their life? That's a lot of exposure to fluoride when you add it all up, because it's a cumulative effect that starts to build up and affect your thyroid, your kidneys, your bones, your brain. But also, yeah, it's the ingestion through water. It's in sodas. It's in most processed foods, like canned processed foods. It's in some pharmaceuticals. It's in some makeups. There's really a large amount of ways that people are exposed to fluoride. It's not just through drinking water. So that's the problem here. And that's what the scientists were going to say in this next article that they quote, that they say that, it's a mistake to just say, well, the studies you're looking at, and this is what some of the reviewers were trying to do when they were trying to shut them down. They were saying, well, the studies you're looking at, most of them seem to look at levels that are higher than the United States or Canada or most accepted governments levels. So it's irrelevant. And they kept wanting them to add caveats and add these sentences saying like, well, this can't be taken, to apply to real life because it has higher levels of fluoride. But they're saying we have to consider all these various factors, all the different ways that you're being exposed to fluoride, the drinking water, the showers, the processed foods and sodas and all that, if you're drinking that. But that's the great thing is there are ways to avoid it. Stop eating shitty food. Stop drinking from the tap water. Use filters if you can afford them. And I understand some people can't afford them, but that's also, you can go most cities, nearly everywhere, small towns, big towns. I've been all over the United States and even here, even in Mexico, they have the water filter stations. You can go buy two big 5-gallon jugs, BPA free, or glass if you prefer, buy a couple of those for your family. And that's just the initial investment. I don't know how much those cost. I think maybe 10 bucks or something. So maybe you got to save up a little bit to get that. You get a few of those bottles and then you can go to those stations and refill for like 25 cents, 20 cents, 30 cents, 40 cents, depending on the type of water. And they have seven different types of filtration, including reverse osmosis, which does remove fluoride and a lot of other toxins. Now, I'll say for a moment, as a candidate for mayor of Houston, I'm calling for ending the contract with Mosaic Co., the company that is responsible for selling hydrofluorosilicic acid, aka fluoride, to the city of Houston. They spend $5 million on fluoride in the water, poisoning people, right? So that would be one of the first things I would want to do. Now, I told you guys I've been fighting this fluoride issue for a long time as an activist since 2010, putting up flyers and then trying to raise awareness, sharing, starting the Fluoride for Houston group. And then as a journalist, I started to report on it in 2013, 2014. I have some other articles I'm going to show you from back then where I was reporting on emails between the CDC and the American Dental Association, showing that we already knew that there was problems with fluoride and that these people have been lying for a long time. I've been at this for a while, and I want to show you one example of this. This is back in 2012, so more than 10 years ago, when I was confronting Houston's former mayor, Anise Parker, questioning her about fluoride. And the audio is not the best, but just go ahead and listen. You'll see a young Derek Bros here patiently waiting to get around the mayor's bodyguards to ask her about fluoride. And she says she stands with the CDC. She's not going to rethink fluoride. And, you know, I think I'm looking pretty good now after all these years of being called crazy for talking about this. And I feel like I stayed on the right side and I continue to be on the right side. So check this out real quick.
I'm with HFT Media. I just wanted to congratulate you and thank you for your initiative to vote today. Thank you, everybody, to vote. And also, I wanted to ask you about a little bit. I know that you've received awards for being a green mayor, and you're making more efforts in that way. And I know that there's two city council members who have endorsed the group fluoride for Houston to remove fluoride from the water. And earlier this year, you said having a sustainable attitude is about more than purchasing vehicles or initiating energy savings on buildings. It's about rethinking everything we do. Are you ready to rethink fluoride?
No, I'm not ready to rethink fluoride.
You're spending over $5 billion on a substance.
Right now, man.
We are keeping individuals from ending up without teeth in the dentist's office.
Well, we'll be there this on Tuesday to offer you some new information.
You can keep coming.
There's a lot more information.
You're not going to be able to change my mind. I did, after the first visit, contact the Centers for Disease Control, go through their recommendations, and their recommendations continue to be that cities put fluoride in the water.
They've recently adjusted that in the past 2 years.
They have adjusted the amounts, but they still recommend fluoride into the water.
So I think that in the future, we're going to see that this is like many dangers that have gone on. No reason to touch me.
All right. Welcome back. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance Network. That was a clip of me 10 years ago. I know it was kind of background noise, but you could hear the mayor. This is former mayor of Houston, Anise Parker. Where are you at, Anise Parker? Oh, yeah, you went on to get hired at Harvard. And this is what sickens me. I just kind of digress for a moment that these type of people are looked at as respectable. They're getting elected to mayor, getting jobs at Harvard. And I'm looked at as the crazy guy who asks questions about fluoride in the water. Oh, we all know that's safe. 10 years ago. And here we are now with concrete evidence in these documents showing that children exposed to high levels of fluoride. And then the thing about this, guys, so if you're a mother and you're using formula and it's being reconstituted with fluoridated water, the kids are getting like, boom, high dose of that at a young age. So, and they're obviously absorbing it through the mom too as well. So if the mom's drinking fluoridated water, then that's going to be a problem too. This is a look at the documents here, the actual documents. This is 1,500 pages. I'm going to be working with some friends. We're going to continue to go through here to review. And a lot of it is just kind of repeated information. It's like the NTP monograph from 2022, the NTP monograph from May 2022. But I want to show you just, you guys can kind of see off to the side what I was talking about earlier. You have these comments to the side. These are the comments from the reviewers. So the external reviewers, their names are redacted. You know, you see this kind of redacted black here. But these are very rare. It's very rare for us to believe that you know, to see these conversations, to see the scientists and the reviewers in the peer review process going back and forth and having the dialogue. So that's what makes these documents really interesting. But even more than that, let me go back to my article, is the fact that these scientists, the NTP scientists, have been repeatedly standing by their work and defending the work that they're doing and standing up against, I don't want to say bullies, but let's just like take it on the most basic objective level. Let's say that these other scientists, these other external reviewers genuinely believe the work is not good enough to be published yet. Even though it's been reviewed by 5 different external reviewers who gave it the thumbs up, the scientists have updated and adjusted their words and tweaked little things to try to satisfy the reviewers. And it just keeps saying like, we need to keep reviewing it. We need to just review it one more time. Like they're just waiting for somebody to find a different opinion, even though they keep finding the same thing. Fluoride is toxic and it is affecting the IQ of young children. And we have increasing evidence of that. And we should act on the precautionary principle and end the recommendation and any sort of mandates, stop paying taxpayer dollars to put this poison in the water. I mean, it's that simple. So I want to show you, though, examples of these scientists standing up here. One other thing I will say is, in addition to the NTP monograph, they had two reports that were part of this, and this is all in the documents. The other one is called a meta-analysis, also like a called State of the Science. And this meta-analysis was dated July 2022. It's titled Association Between Fluoride Exposure and Children's Intelligence, a Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis. And these scientists behind the meta-analysis, so we got the NTP monograph that already said that fluoride is connected to lowering IQ of children. Then you've got these, the meta-analysis, which says, quote, this meta-analysis confirms results of previous meta-analyses and extends them by including newer, more precise studies with individual level exposure measures. The consistency of the data supports an inverse association between fluoride exposure and children's IQ. That's them saying, like, there's a relationship, there's an association with the IQ going down, the higher the fluoride exposure is in infants and young children. Other documents include sections, as I mentioned, with comments from the reviewers and the scientists going back and forth. Now, most of this back and forth centers around the reviewers telling the scientists that they need to insert different statements. Like I was saying, that you need to say, specifically, they keep telling them, you need to put in a statement that notes that the majority of the studies being reviewed involve exposure to fluoride at levels above the U.S. government's recommended dose for water fluoridation. So let's make that clear so nobody accuses me of misinformation or fake news. Most of the studies looked at it at levels above what the U.S. government recommends. So you could argue and say, oh, well, this is not realistic. It's not based on what people are going to actually be absorbing. But then, as we mentioned a couple of moments ago, you have to consider all the other factors. And this is what the scientists themselves wrote back. This is the scientists pushing back and saying, no, we're not going to make that change. They repeatedly assert their view that adding such a statement is unnecessary because water fluoridation is not the only exposure an individual faces. This is from the NTP scientists. Quote, as we discuss in the monograph, fluoride is found in the water, certain foods, dental products, some pharmaceuticals, etc., and individual behaviors are likely to be an important determinant of actual total fluoride exposures. And then they say in another part, quote, it is true that our stated confidence assessment is based primarily on studies with total exposures higher than those generally associated with consumption of optimally fluoridated water in the United States. However, the confidence assessment also includes findings from studies with fluoride exposures that are similar to or even lower than those associated with optimally fluoridated water supply. So yes, a lot of the studies are higher than the recommended dose of the U.S., but some are at the same level and even lower. And taken together, they show an association of a relationship that the higher exposure to fluoride, the lower the IQ and other potential neurological problems. It couldn't be more clear. I mean, this is what they've been trying to hide. So I want to show you guys a couple more things before we wrap up here for the day. Thank you again for tuning in. Please do share this report. You can go to theconsciousresistance.com and find this video. You can see the articles that I'm covering right now. And if you want to support the work I do, you can go to theconsciousresistance.com/invest. So the final part of this article, the second article, I just kind of did a little bit of a history for those who don't know that it was back in 2006, almost 20 years ago, that the National Research Council first found an association that supported an association of higher levels of naturally occurring fluoride, not even the added poison, the naturally occurring stuff, and adverse neurological effects in humans, and recommended further investigation. And that was the beginning of deciding, like, okay, we should look further into this. And the NTP themselves, they started out with more than 25,000 references that they pulled from various databases, including more than 500. They then narrowed it down to 500 studies, including 167 human studies, 339 non-human mammal studies, and 60 in vitro studies. And in the end, they only chose high quality, low risk of bias studies. And when it came to kids and IQ and kind of looking beyond that, they chose 72 studies for the children, and they narrowed that down to 19, which they said were low potential for bias. And these studies came from China, Canada, Mexico, India, and Iran. And the researchers wrote, quote, the results from 18 of the 19 low risk of bias studies that evaluated IQ in children provide consistent evidence that a higher fluoride exposure is associated with lower IQ scores. I mean, it couldn't be more clear than that. The monograph also looked for effects beyond just IQ, other what they call neurodevelopmental effects. And the researchers conclude that the high quality studies show evidence of, quote, an association between fluoride exposure and other cognitive neurodevelopmental effects, including low neurobehavioral scores in infants, an increase in attention-related disorders, including ADHD in children. Now, and when it comes to those particular things beyond IQ, like ADHD, low scores for infants, they do caution. They say that there are limitations in their data set, and so they have low confidence about this association. So I feel like, and if you look at the documents, you can clearly see that the reviewers were arguing for them to, hey, you know, you need to change this language to make it sound less threatening, essentially. But the researchers, they say that, yes, there's limitations in our data set, we have low confidence, but they also say, quote, although there are limitations in the body of the evidence, the low risk of bias studies demonstrate a relationship between higher fluoride exposure and neurodevelopmental effects, even in very young children, which supports the consistency in evidence shown in children's IQ studies of an association between fluoride exposure and adverse effects on cognitive neurodevelopment. What does that mean? It means that, look, yes, there's some limitations in our data set, but the body of evidence we have and is consistent. The body of evidence we have for things like ADHD and low neurodevelopmental scores in infants is consistent with the body of evidence we have that shows an association between fluoride and lowering of IQ. So they're essentially arguing like, look, we already have this association in this one area. There's definitely reason to suspect there's something else going on here, even if we're rating it low confidence at the moment. Now, the next thing is the fluoride hearing. The next hearing in this trial, this lawsuit, will be April 11th, and you can bet I will be reporting on that. At the April 11th hearing, what's most likely to happen is that Judge Edward Chin is going to make a ruling on when and if, which I believe we will, there will be, when and if there will be a second phase of this fluoride lawsuit, this fluoride trial. Now that these documents have been released, the court should be able to review it. The judge should be able to look and then make his own decision. He's probably going to call, the government's going to bring experts, the Fluoride Action Network's going to bring experts to testify, and there'll be another stage of this trial. And most likely it won't start till sometime in the summer or the fall. I expect then it probably won't get solved till 2024. I mean, just being realistic with how slow these things have moved, which is really disturbing because we need people to see this information. I mean, people out there who have children who are feeding them bottled formula water, bottled milk, you know, formula that's constituted with fluoridated water, or they're giving their kids soda or hot processed foods, or they're drinking and cooking and showering with the water. They need to know that they are putting their lives and their hearts and their minds and their bodies and their kids at risk, and the government is not going to take care of them. So, yeah, this is so important, guys. If you find value in this, please go to theconsciousresistance.com. Check out these two articles. You can also just see them directly at thelastamericanvagabond.com. This is my second piece. Both of these have been published just in the last 2 days. Newly released review of fluoride's toxicity highlights NTP scientists' battle to follow the science, as we just reviewed. And the first one is called U.S. Government Releases Censored Documents Detailing Fluoride's Impact on Childhood IQ. Both of these are linked on my website right now on the front page of theconsciousresistance.com, where you can check this out. It's really disturbing, guys. Like, you know, that's why I want to just kind of show you, like, I've been fighting this issue as an activist and as a journalist and as a candidate for mayor for some time now, for going on a decade. And it's an important issue. And I hope and I pray that more people will see that this is not a conspiracy theory. It's not about being right. Just put your egos aside and realize that the science that we're all told to trust is showing that this is a danger to our families and to the children into the coming generations. And anybody who's pregnant right now, you need to get this information to them ASAP so they stop drinking fluoridated water. And also, the other thing is, let me pull up one more article about the claims of the cavities, right? Because this is the other big thing. Sometimes people will say, well, yeah, Derek, you know that I know that you're saying that there's something wrong with the fluoridated water, but that's different, right? The fluoride treatments are still good. The ones I get from my dentist, because I've been getting those since I was a kid. I'm scrolling, trying to find where I posted this article a couple days ago. But that is not true at all, guys. I wrote this article in 2015. Here it is. 2015, and it's titled, let me pull this up. This was for truthinmedia.com, for those who might remember that. This is Ben Swan's old website. I used to write for Ben Swan, journalist Ben Swan. And this was a report I put together for his website in 2015. New study says water fluoridation does not reduce cavities. This is just from back in 2015. And this is not just one study. This is another similar to the NTP monographs, which are reviews of all the studies. You might have heard of the Cochrane Review, the Cochrane Collaboration, which is a global network of researchers, professionals, patients, which they do these comprehensive, well-designed papers. They're considered to be very reliable. And they did one actually just recently on COVID-19 and masks and such. Well, this Cochrane Review on fluoridation found that there is insufficient evidence that fluoridation reduces tooth decay in adults. They said they were unable to determine whether water fluoridation has any impact on cavities levels in adults. And, you know, there's some science behind this. I'll link this too as well so you can check that out. But the point is that's not even an accurate claim. So even the people trying to tell us that, like, okay, well, let's get it out of the water, but I'm still going to have my dentist put it on my teeth, it's not good for you. And that's the problem. That's why this information is being suppressed, because groups like the American Dental Association, like the CDC, like the FDA, they have long promoted and recommended this. And they are scared. They're terrified that they're going to face lawsuits if this information comes out. And it's coming out now. And realistically, there are people out there who could say that their children's IQ or their development of ADHD or other things, like neurodevelopmental factors, that fluoride may have played a role. Let's say they can prove that, hey, we were chugging down fluoridated water every day, or he's drinking soda, and, you know, whatever ways that, you know, it might be difficult to prove. But the point is, I do believe this will lead to mass class action lawsuits all around the country and maybe all around the world if this report does actually come out and is seen as the final opinion of the U.S. government, or at least one agency of the U.S. government. It's going to be difficult to see how that goes, or if the lawsuit continues and the judge rules in favor, says that fluoride is a neurotoxin and it violates the Toxic Substance Control Act and is therefore banned and history has changed. I mean, that would be amazing, right? Because humanity has only been being poisoned by this stuff since 1940. They started after World War II. So what, 60, 70, 80 years now that people in the US and other countries have been being poisoned by this? That's not a long time in our history. We can overcome this. We can rise above this. We can make sure that we are able to get our strong minds, our bodies and our hearts and our spirits back and get this poison out of the water. That's what it is. No matter what anybody else tries to tell you, the evidence is there. We've got the documentation. We've got the scientists standing up and saying this study is ready for release. And we've got the scientists, the reviewers, and the officials at the HHS saying, no, this is not going to come out. We need answers. Hopefully it'll come out in the lawsuit. I'll continue to cover it and report on it, guys. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for listening. You can find this report at theconsciousresistance.com. Until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. And if you're in Houston, I'm running for mayor. Check out derekbrose.com. Peace.
Since 2012, the Conscious Resistance Network has been an independent media organization focused on empowering individuals through education, philosophy, health, and community organizing. We work to create a world where corporate and state power do not rule over the lives of free human beings. Our motto is leading by example and helping others in their pursuit of freedom. Visit theconsciousresistance.com to find our articles, documentaries, interviews, podcasts, books, and more. Remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free.